Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So just resetting the Bubba Wallace thing, in case you didn't hear it today. NASCAR concluded its investigation with a couple of interesting items. One is they released the picture. They released the picture of what Bubba Wallace's crew encountered in his garage stall there last Sunday or Monday, whatever, there in Talladega, which I think was important because I wanted to see what they saw. And that can also help tell you whether someone's overreacting or seeing something that wasn't there or seeing something that wasn't, you know, it's just you get the visual. And we're showing on the simulcast right now. If you're driving around, you can go home and Google it. It's everywhere. That, to me, is an unmistakable, unequivocal, straight-up noose. And it is, and I'm glad they finally put this out here so I can see it. It's not like, it's not like one of the things where you could interpret this as a noose. No, it's a noose. And it is unnecessary. In other words, there's no need to tie that rope off in a noose to get the garage door down. There's no need. And in fact, NASCAR keeps pointing this out. And I think it's another thing that I like is they're saying how, you know, to shoot those down who say, well, that's just the most functional knot to put at the end of that rope to get the garage door down. No, sir. And NASCAR makes sure to point this out. Their president, Steve Phelps, said that NASCAR conducted a thorough sweep of every garage area on the NASCAR circuit, 29 tracks that have a total of 1,684 garage stalls. All right. So I said yesterday that that was the only noose at the end of a rope at Talladega. That was the only one at that track. Well, they went across every track and looked at every garage. 1,684 of them. One noose. One. One. That was the only one in Bubba Wallace's garage at Talladega. Like, again, talk about just
reverse lottery is what that is.
An atrocious coincidence that could only happen in the year 2020 when every day is worse than the one before, Jimmy Stewart, and what?
It's never going to end.
Yes, so only in the year 2020 could NASCAR have 1,684 garage stalls, but have only one with a noose attached to the rope connecting the garage door, and their one African-American driver finds it. Like, it's just, and when I say finds it, it gets, is you know, it has that stall. So, horrible coincidence, but I still think, as I said before, this is still a hate crime to me. And I'm not saying, you know, like go prosecute someone, but someone tied that noose there to leave it as a symbol. And it wasn't targeting Bubba Wallace necessarily. There's no way that individual who tied it in October of 2019 could know that Wallace was going to be assigned to that garage the next year. So it wasn't specifically targeting Wallace, but it was, you know, just one of these guys that likes to leave racist imagery. Someone who spray paints a swastika underneath a bridge, for example. You know, it's the same thing. So it was some racist who was in that stall, had some spare time on his hands, and decided to tie the end of that rope off in a hangman's noose because he wanted to leave a racist symbol because he's a racist a-hole, and he just did it. And Bubba Wallace got assigned to, you know, just whatever. 6 months later, there's Bubba Wallace pulling into that garage, and that's what happened. But I still think someone somewhere left that symbol with ill intent. And so that's sort of the Bubba Wallace reset. But how's that, that number? They looked at every garage stall. Because you heard it, Maz, right? You heard a lot of people say, well, you know, all those garages have ties like that. All those garages right. have ropes like that. All those, you know, that's the best way to get that garage door down. That's the most functional knot to put at the end of that rope. Okay, you know that was the defense. No, sir. No, sir. In fact, I don't know if I just told you this number. Only 11 of the 1,684 garage stalls even had any knots at the end of the rope. most of them had no knots at the rope, at the end of the rope, or no ropes, period. There was only 11 that even decided to tie any kind of knot at the bottom of the rope. And the one at Talladega was the only one with the hangman's noose. So that's an incredible stat.
Yeah, and to me, that's the part that I found frustrating through this whole thing. And we had a caller do it today when talking about the picture, say, well, that's, you know, there, you know, a lot of them are tied like that. It's the most functional way to pull down the door. Wrong. Really? Well, I'll tell you what, based on the math, there are, what, 55 or 60 of these garages at the 29 tracks, as you said, almost 1,700 garages in NASCAR, and one of them had a noose. So all these people have been racing their whole lives. It's so functional that one of them did it?
I frankly think that the investigation and the reporting exonerates Bubba Wallace and backs him and I think makes him validates what he did. I even think he underplayed it. Again, that picture. If you haven't seen that picture, you are the one black driver on the circuit. You have Confederate flag rallies going on outside the stadium, a two-mile-long caravan of Confederate battle flags. You have one flying over the stadium. NASCAR has just, for the first time, abolished that heinous flag. And you are the reason they did it. And now you show up to what is considered the most racist track in NASCAR, and a member of your crew walks into your garage and sees that hanging there? Sees that. I mean, again, just look at that picture. And you find that? Oh, my God. I think the Wallace team showed restraint. Not only did they not exaggerate it, I think they showed some restraint. I think if some, you know, I think some other athletes who have, if they would have found that, would have blown the roof off the thing.
Oh, for sure.
I would have gone nuts. I would have gone nuts. How pissed would you be if you're African-American, you find that in your locker? You don't know when it was put there. You don't know it was there since October 2019. All you know is the conditions outside the stadium, on your circuit, and you walk in, you find that.
Yeah, that's why I think it's just a false narrative to call it a hoax. It's not that. I can completely see. You see this photo, and even, frankly, I didn't need to see this photo. The other photo that showed what it looked like even the one we were referring to that was one that was like a noose for a mouse. It was still a noose. So I can see why someone on the pit crew and NASCAR officials would assume that that's there to send a message to their only black driver, and they were right to have a thorough investigation. Again, but it's crazy, though, that the fact remains, that being in his bay, it's the most unfortunate coincidence and a microcosm of this increasingly terrible year.
So there's that. There's your full Bubba Wallace reset. We can touch on that or anything else from the day. Dave in the car wants to weigh in on Sam Kennedy, who you just heard from. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, before I do that, I do agree with your take on that. And it is possible that someone in October knew that that was going to be Bubba Wallace's bay.
Not really.
No.
Not really.
Okay, so anyways, on the Sam Kennedy thing you played at the beginning of the end of the hour, that long-winded, disingenuous, happy horse bleep from Sam Kennedy. Why do the Red Sox always have to be so dishonest? That base, you know, they're doing it to bring, you know, happy faces to the fandom for baseball. This is why they're doing it, because they're a business like every other business in the country and the world, and they need to get back to business to make. Like, why do they have to throw out all this narrative, which is, you know, so, you know, it's crap.
Because it's what they do. Happy horse crap. But they're not the only ones. Adam Silver says a lot. All these leagues are saying it, and I push back every time. It's like, just trying to get your business back open is enough. You don't need to, you know, it's nice to do the right thing, and I hope the world is saved. But you don't need to save the world. You just need to get your business open. That's okay. That's, you know, that's reason enough. But, you know, leave it to the Red Sox to go that extra mile.
Yeah, I think they always get themselves into trouble when they do this sort of thing. And so the only thing I can say about baseball versus the other sports is that they should have the best chance of success based on the fact that it's non-contact. So, again, if we're talking about the game on the field now, but at the end of the day, I'm not sure it's even about that. I think it's about what these guys do off the field and whether or not they bring the virus into work. Because once they're all there, if they're all clean, if nobody's infected, it shouldn't matter whether they're having contact or not. I mean, if everybody does what they're supposed to do,
right,
they can play football, they can play basketball, they can play rugby, they can play whatever the hell they want, and nobody's going to get sick because nobody's infected. But if someone brings the virus in because they're careless outside of work, then that's, to me, where the failing is going to come.
Got John in New Hampshire on the Bubba Wallace investigation. Hi, John.
Hey, sir. Hey, Mike, I think that you're completely correct on this subject today with Bubba Wallace and stuff like that. And I think, Jimmy and, of course, Maz are too. But my point is that two calls ago, he said that their job was to go in and, you know, look at the stall. You know, this isn't like looking at the horse in a Kentucky Derby. When those guys go in, they bring their tools in and they bring them out. So the white guys go in and look at this, you know, where they're going to go and look for anything. So when you go in, you just go in. When you leave, you leave. So it's like the fallacy of going in to see, make sure your stall is clean makes no, it's so because he's a black guy, he has to go in and, you know, like look at everything and make sure everything is good.
Yeah, so search for hate symbols. You know, so search to see, you know, who left a vile racist hate symbol in his locker. I don't get the pushback, Maz, on the it was there for 3 days thing and no one noticed it. Do we know that, by the way?
I told you, I don't get, because again, it's an attempt on that side of it to just or to somehow put blame on Bubba Wallace as if there is blame to be put there. So let's say it was there for 3 days. So what? So they took a few days to report it. Why? Maybe they didn't want to report it at first. Or here's the other thing, and someone emailed this in, that because the initial argument was made by someone who said, well, wait a minute, you know, they don't show up and bring the car in at the last minute. They bring it in, you know, days in advance. They get ready for the race. Someone emailed in and said, well, with COVID-19, they actually were limiting the exposure to these garages, and guys were coming in the day before. And so if that was the case, then there's your answer. So all I'm telling you now, look, and I'm offering that up purely as a possibility, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter whether it was there for 3 days before they said something or not. Maybe they had doubts about whether or not they should report it. Maybe they thought, they'll let it go, or they'll handle it internally, or you know, maybe there's a million reasons to explain it. Maybe there are none. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm just curious why it would matter. Marty, did you have a thought there?
No. I just the thing means something completely different to someone of color than it does to, you know. So maybe it's like those 3 days is you get a bunch of white dudes in the crew or, you know, the cleanup crew or whatever going in there and be like, to them it's just, yeah, ooh, look at that, her. But, you know, given what that thing means historically to African-Americans in this country, you know, that's why you say it's a hate symbol, you know. Like there's a trauma that comes with seeing a noose.
Yeah, it's become one, and everyone knows it. The white guys know it too.
Of course, but just again, some of them don't want to hear it. Some of them don't want to hear it, and that's what it is. It's got nothing to do with how many days before they got there, or they just don't want to hear it because it's too harsh a reality for them.
Or given that part of Alabama, they see it and shrug.
Yeah, it's right. It's the culture down there. Absolutely. But I did, you know, I'll just mention this again because I thought an interesting point from one of our callers yesterday who worked at some store where they use a lot of ropes. I thought she said REI, like a climbing store or something, an outdoor store, where she works in the store and they tie off a lot of ropes, whether they're for climbing or for the products in the store or whatever. And she said that there is a rule at their store that you may not use a noose. You may not use a hangman's noose. And they just don't want that image lying around their store because it's an image of hate and intimidation, whether you mean it to be or not, or whether it's intended for someone specifically or not. That is a symbol of hate and intimidation and racism. And so you don't need to use that knot. You certainly don't need to use that knot to get that effing garage door down.
And while that's interesting to hear, you're just opening this up to the knot community again, I'm telling you. It's actually a barrel hitch would be best to use there. Maybe an anchor bend. Oh, God, go away.
We'll hear from all the Boy Scout guides right after this.
Dugger has sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random 2x pound in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter. You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The best, you know, phrase to describe where the NBA is at with all this is too big to fail. Like, they're going down there come hell or high water, and it would take something catastrophic or a seismic shift in the number of players that are going to go for them to stop. And look, you're seeing a smattering of players. I saw Willie Cauley-Stein today was another one on that list, and there will be more. Like, I know players right now that are contemplating the next move here. Like, Wednesday was the NBA's kind of self-imposed deadline, but players don't look at it as any kind of deadline. They'll play this thing out as long as they have to. But, you know, the NBA is going to go down there. They believe in their bubble. They believe in the integrity, the structural integrity of their bubble. And we're full steam ahead for late July.
That was Chris Mannix. We had him on earlier. Just play that because there's more and more reports popping up about players expressing reservations about heading to Orlando, coaches, executives expressing reservations. Apparently, Brad Stevens is pushing back on the league on behalf of maybe a player, according to Jimmy Stewart, maybe coaches, according to The Athletic, about, you know, coaches and team executives are not allowed to bring family at all, ever, for the whole 3 months if you go to the finals, where players are allowed to bring in family after the first round, I believe. But coaches and executives are not. So I think Brad Stevens is lobbying to allow family members of coaches in or something on behalf of a player. Do you have any more on that, Stu?
No, just a reset from 2 o'clock. My belief is that Brad Stevens is advocating for at least one player, if not more, relating to a family or family situation.
Okay. So you hear all this stuff, but according to Chris Mannix, it is full steam ahead. They are going. They are going, and good. I'm glad. So we can circle back to that if you like. In fact, Dante in Nashville wants to weigh in on that. Go ahead, Dante.
Yeah, Michael, we cool, man. Murray, we cool, but I got to talk to Mr. Progressive, man, Mr. Tufts University. Heard yesterday, man, I thought you were part of the movement, man, but you're suggesting surveilling with electronic bracelets on the NBA players, man? That's crazy, man.
That's not what he meant, Dante.
Yeah, so Dante, what I said is, and I changed it later to say dog collars or whatever. Okay, the point is, how about just something? It was a joke about, I don't have faith that these guys can stay inside the bubble and not expose themselves to the virus. And in fact, not just in the NBA, in any sport. I've said all along, I don't think that any guys who, I have very little faith in the players in any sport to be able to discipline themselves. I don't have faith in humanity that people can do it in the workplace on a day-to-day basis, let alone the NBA.
Well, yeah, thank you for clearing that up, man. I worry because everybody's getting canceled, man. I don't want you to get canceled.
Oh, I know, Dante. It's nuts out there, man. It's nuts out there. No question. It's not how it was meant or said or anything, for crying out loud. We're talking about, I mean, it wasn't even a black-white thing. We're talking about these athletes leaving the bubble and putting their teams and their leagues in jeopardy, and that's what's going to shut these things down. We were talking about the Phillies. And again, at black-white, I don't know, but the Phillies have had a big outbreak, and Jason Stark reported that most of it is a result of a social gathering at a local establishment, which made it sound like a strip club or a club or something. But the whole point is these bubbles aren't going to make it if the players are being irresponsible and going to the club. Novak Djokovic is another guy that we were ragging on. That clown. For shirts off in the club, and then he and his whole little mini tour test positive and have to shut the whole thing down. And so we're saying you can't hold these guys under gunpoint on the outside of the bubble. They're not going to have armed guards keeping you in the bubble. They're not going to give you a dog collar to shock you if you go outside the bubble. That's how it was said. Okay, it was nothing to do with anything else.
People do not have the discipline. Again, I'll keep it to the workplace. I mean, I'm still working from home. I still believe that most people who go into the workplace, those people go home at the end of the day. Do you have faith in your fellow coworker to do what they have to do to stay safe? Because they're going to come in and infect your workspace. If you don't have that faith, don't go in.
No, you? I feel good about. Zoe? We're talking about plexiglass in the studio, right? Separating the workstations? So it depends on the individual. Carl in Grafton. Hi, Carl.
Hey, Felger. How's it going? I appreciate you guys talking about Bubba Wallace like you've been doing today. The problem with the whole thing is that given the venue, a lot of these things are local. And I don't watch NASCAR. I don't follow it. I do like to drive fast, but you couldn't get me to sit there and watch it for 3 hours. It's worse than baseball. But these heritage movements, these long-memoried Southern things like nooses and Confederate flags are insipid. It's the kind of thing that needs to be rooted out. And unless, you know, people who are not people of color start standing up to it, it's going to go on forever. Like, you can't tell me that somebody didn't assign him that garage knowing that that thing was there.
They did.
That's my conspiracy theory.
I don't think they did. Carl, it's based on standings. I keep saying this because it's based on standings. So whoever was – as someone emailed me. I don't know if I want to track it down, but Wallace ranks 21st in standings. So he got the pick of the 21st stall. That's how they do it. And that fourth stall – I think is also the fourth pit position, which is like one of the worst. But when you have a low, you know, spot in the draft for your stall, you end up with those, and that's how that happened. So what the email was implying is that Wallace actually chose it. He actually chose the number four. But whether it was him or NASCAR, it's based on standings. So it was not predetermined. Whoever ranked in 21st where Bubba Wallace ranked was going to get that stall, and that's so. No, it was a heinous coincidence. But the Confederate imagery and the monuments and the flag, to me, is I've felt this way for a long time. I think it is unacceptable. I think it is it blows me away that this is even a fight and that they still exist, that things are still named after Confederate generals. Army bases are named after Confederate generals or states. I think maybe it's just Mississippi now is the last one left, but states fly that stars and bar that Confederate battle flag in their state flag, and it's socially acceptable to fly that flag in places in our country. I find that reprehensible. Can you imagine being an African American and walking into a building where someone's flying that flag, that hostile, overtly racist symbol is right in your face? Like, how would you feel? If you're a black guy and you got to go to work at a place that flies that flag, you imagine putting yourself in that spot? I mean, you're basically being told when you walk in this door, we hate you. I mean, that's basically what that flag is saying to you. And I think it's just atrocious.
I'm telling you right now, Mike, you don't have to go that far either. There's a spot in off Route 16 when I go see my dad in North Conway. It's not near him, but it's one of these like hillbilly-ish type towns in that part of New Hampshire, which was like the deep south of the north. I usually stop there to go get gas or take a leak. And right nearby, there's a home that is flying that flag, you know, as loud and proud as they possibly could. And every time I'm like, oh, Jesus, really? Like, I thought we were supposed to be like in an enlightened area up here. But
so
clearly
bad.
Not.
So bad. It's, say you're a soldier, you know, who is willing to risk his life for this country. And you have to go to an army base. Is Fort Bragg, is that named after a Confederate general? I
can't
lose track.
That. I don't know.
But there's a half dozen to a dozen military bases named after Confederate generals. And you have to go, you're willing to sacrifice your life for your country, yet you have to go train at a base named after a Confederate general? Fighting to enslave you? Like, what's the justification for that existing? I just think I think that's such an easy one. And the fact that they're still out there, to me, blows me away. All right, there's my little soapbox on that one. We'll get back to your calls after Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench.
And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Colin Coward of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
You guys do a great show. show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We'll wrap it up here with your phone calls on everything from the day. We got a lot of Bubba Wallace on here. Got some Return to Sports on here. Instead, bring on Wayne. Go ahead, Wayne in Grafton. How you doing, Wayne?
At times like this, I'm glad I'm 73. You know,
yeah. To think about it, Wayne.
Yeah, well, you know. Sometimes you have to see it. I mean, I'm tired of all this stuff about the nooses because it's becoming a nuisance. Bada boom. I mean, the world sucks. The end is near. We're all gonna die. We all have to lighten up. Maybe we should, try to go back and watch some comedy from the '70s, like All in the Family. Peace out.
Okay. All in the Family.
I hope you get the DVDs because you'll never see that again.
Seriously, that show's gone.
We've got Mike in Bradford. He's up next with Felger and Maz. How you doing, Michael? Oh, my bad. Go ahead, Mike.
How you doing? So I got a question, and I haven't following as much, but has nobody used that stall since October?
That's right. 2019? There's been no racing since October. There's been no racing since October of 2019. No one's been in, from what I understand, no one's been at the track.
So whoever, wouldn't it just go to show that whoever used that last probably would be the ones who put it up there?
That's what we're thinking. And also, Steve Phelps on NASCAR today said they couldn't find any evidence that it was there before October 2019. So, October 2019, whatever race was there, whatever crew was using the stall, whatever video you can find from that time, I mean, you should be able to track that down, shouldn't you?
I mean, to me, that's pretty elementary. And it wouldn't surprise me if NASCAR already knows. And again, who knows why it happened? We had a caller earlier in the day say, well, it's around October's around the time of Halloween, with someone pulling some sort of Halloween prank or stunt in there. It's entirely possible. I have no idea. But I do believe that NASCAR, if they don't know, they will know, because I can't imagine that one's going to be too hard to track.
We've got Rick in New Hampshire. He's up next on this very topic. Hi, Rick.
Hey, guys. So, in this charged environment, I think a noose was a bad thing to see, but couldn't it have been innocent? Couldn't it have been somebody brought their kid to the garage and the kid could grab the garage with a loop rather than a straight rope? I mean, that is certainly as feasible as what you guys are saying, something nefarious.
I guess we don't know why whoever tied that rope off like that. We don't know why he did it. An innocent explanation would be what you just said, or a Halloween party, and it was a prop for a Halloween party. It was October in 2019, and it just got left there, and no one noticed it because there was no racing there until the Wallace crew showed up that day. So that would be an innocent explanation. My guess is that it was the other thing, that just some a-hole gets off on leaving nooses around because some people are just built that way. They like to spray paint swastikas on buses. I just going back to that analogy. Just random racist graffiti, there's people like that too. And that's my guess. That's my guess what the guy did. He didn't intend, he wasn't targeting Wallace because he didn't know who was going to be in that locker stall, when or where. But he did it because that's what he likes to do. That's my guess. Dino is in Florida on the FBI investigation. Hi, Dino.
Felger, you hit the nail on the head. I agree with you 100%. He wasn't targeted, but some yahoo from a year ago. And we know the racist background with the NASCAR. But I think the whole tears and everybody's crying, pushing them to the front is a little much. But let me ask you a question. What is the racial percentage of your on-air personalities and producers on your show?
Poor. It's a poor representation.
So are we to assume that you guys are all racist over there?
No, we're definitely not. But I'm sorry. I didn't mean to stop you. But it's not a very diverse shop at the Sports Hub. It's true. I don't know what to tell you. That's not intentional. No one that we work with is racist. No one does that by design. It's just what it is. I mean, Gaspar obviously has been with us since day one. Wiggy used to be with us. He left us.
That's this business. If you really want to take a look at it as a whole, it's mostly doughy white guys in their mid-40s. It really is.
You know, This is the doughy white guy hub. No, but it is, we're not a very diverse shop. I mean, that's an unfortunate fact. It's true. Eric is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Eric. What do you got?
Hey, Mike, to clarify, because of the coronavirus going on, the team that found this showed up the day of the race. They're not there for 3 days.
That's right.
Before they would have been, but they're flying in the day of the race and they're flying out the day of the race. And one other clarify, they don't pick the garage stall, but they do pick their pit stall. Maybe that emailer got confused there.
And does a pit stall correspond to the garage stall? Because the guy said the number four pit spot's the worst spot.
No, the pit stall that has nothing to do with the garage. You qualify, the guy who qualifies first picks the first stall. The numbers in the garage, typically, if you're the highest in points, you're the closest to pit road, so you don't have to walk as far. And that doesn't mean pit stall, garage stall one is closer to the pitch. It could be garage stall 30. It's just the way they number them and lay it out.
Right. Okay. So either way, it's based on standings. It was based on standings. He wasn't assigned it. So that, you know, that's important to know. And the thing about the timing is also, we got a couple emails on this. Normally, in normal times, the race crews do get in 3 days before and spend a couple days at the track. But because of the coronavirus, the protocol this year, again, according to the emailer and this caller now, is that they fly in day of, or they come to the track day of. You show up that morning, unload your crap, race your car, and get out. And it's changed this year. So the Wallace pit crew did not have 3 days to check out the rope or look at the rope, or they were there one day and they found it on that one day. And it's probably no coincidence that it was during the rain delay, because maybe they had some more time on their hands. They're just sitting around. And at some point someone says, what the hell is that? You know, that seems pretty plausible to me. How about Rick in Framingham? What do you got for us, Rick?
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, I don't know if you guys remember or not. Not too long ago, Howard Stern made a comment about how the Seinfeld show totally bombed over in Germany, and he made the remark that nothing's changed over there in 100 years. And I feel the same way about Talladega. Nothing's changed there in 100 years. I don't think anything's going to change much the next 100 years, to be honest. And all these people making the right comments through social media, I really doubt the majority of them actually care either.
Okay, so it hasn't changed nearly enough, that's for sure.
100. You only got to go back about 60 in that neck of the woods.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it hasn't
I'm not
changed.
Not even sure you have to go back that far, Murray.
Hasn't changed nearly enough. However, you have to admit NASCAR's been doing the right thing. That NASCAR's been on the right side of this for once. Took them way too long, but I think they've displayed tremendous leadership on this and doing the right thing. And again, not most notably alienating their customers. The racists who like that battle flag, it's gone. They're not going to let you fly it anymore. And that's pissed a lot of their fans off. That's going to cost them some business. And so I think they deserve credit for that. I think they deserve credit for, siding with Bubba Wallace and, you know, maybe even overreacting in some respects. But they decided to believe and stand by their minority driver. So I think NASCAR's done a great job through this. I really do. And maybe that's a signal that things can change down there. Mike in Plymouth. Hi, Mike.
Hey, a couple of callers kind of stole my thunder. I guess who was in the stall before Bubba Wallace, and did he have an African-American on his team? But I guess I'll just use my time to say with 5-6 months of no sports, you guys have kicked ass, and I appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, well, that's very nice. Rare, nice, supportive caller of us, Maz.
Yeah, so, no, we don't get many of those, that's for sure. Although we have had a, in all fairness to the callers, we've gotten a lot of emails like that, a lot more calls like that than usual in the last few months, that's for sure.
We've got Scott in Tampa. Hi, Scott.
Yeah, how do you feel about a place like Gettysburg in Pennsylvania that celebrates both the North and the South and sells Confederate memorabilia and also has over 20 Confederate statues in it?
So that's a little different, isn't it? And I've never really thought that one out. I mean, that's different than, you know, having an army base named after the guy or a state flag depicting the stars and bars. I keep saying stars and bars. Is that even right? Is it stars and bars?
That's what it's referred to.
Or a state flag or university with that imagery. I mean, that's different. You know,
those are organizations that are making money for profit. I mean, and that's including the military too. Like that's those places, I think, should have their names removed. A place like Gettysburg, you know, it's a historical place. You go there, you learn. Does it have a hideous history? In some way, yes. Like, I think that those things should still exist. But I think when you're an organization, and especially a for-profit one, like, change the name. What are you doing?
Yeah, you know, or if you're a state institution.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that whole flag and imagery should be socially unacceptable. It can't be illegal. You still have freedom of expression, and I'm not saying make it illegal, but it should be socially socially unacceptable. Like flying the Nazi flag is socially unacceptable. And so back to the memorabilia thing. What if you buy Confederate stuff as a memorabilia collector? There's a line there. I mean, why are you so interested in all the Confederate stuff, man? Like, I'd say the same thing about the guy that collects the Nazi memorabilia.
Well,
why would you want to collect? I mean, I want to collect cards of Robin Yount. I don't want to collect cards or, you know, collect things that depict Himmler and Mengele and, you know, guys like I don't get it. Why are you?
Well, there's always a line. I think to me, there's like a line, like, you know, what's creepy. You know, if you want to own a Walther P-38, which happened to be the handgun that most of the Nazi soldiers use, if you're a gun nut, like, I can understand that. But if you have a flag, dinner plates, things like that, you know, like
armband.
Yeah. SS, an SS helmet and you know, the medals and stuff. They're like, OK, now you're a creep. Like, you know.
Right. So
I mentioned Marge Schott, the, you know, former owner of the Reds, who had a swastika armband in her hall table or something. Remember that?
How about her quote? Remember her quote?
Oh, God, please. I don't even want to say it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel if I say it, I'll get fired, even though it was her. You're right. I'm not even going to say it. Do you remember that quote? That
yes, hell yeah, I remember it.
That all-timer of a quote.
I was a kid. I vaguely remember that.
Oh, look it up. I mean, what a piece of work she was. Brutal. The thing, you know, and she did get fired for it. She did get fired for it. All right, that's going to put a wrapper on it on this portion of the program. The final word comes your way next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town
Nobody
Fair Tire.
Nobody.
So what we have in the final word today is actually something from the Zolak and Bertrand show. As it turns out that they were reenacting or doing their version of an interview that you did, Mike, on BarrettSportsMedia.com.
Maz chimed in as well. Maz, thank you for the kind words. Very nice of you.
So you did a little Q&A with one of the writers at that sports radio business website. And here is Beetle and Zoe giving their reenactment.
Mike is self-motivated, he lives for sports radio, and is clearly one of the best in the country at it. Maybe in his mind he thinks he's getting softer. Things happen when you turn 50. But I would never categorize Mike Felger as being soft. Anyone catch the 50 dig there? That felt like a dig.
That's ageism right there.
Dig, 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 dig.
Getting old, buddy.
MT dishing out a compliment, but then
you know what that is?
Maybe
you
I should dial is? It back a bit and remind him that he's now over the age of 50.
That's Belichick Brady stuff right there.
That felt like a little needling, is what it felt like.
We know the contract status and the age of the quarterback, right?
Right.
We know the age and contract status of the afternoon drive guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I told him. You know, he's right. I mean, once we all get that, I mean, I just had the thing done last year, a colonoscopy. But, you know, Mike's at that age now, he's got to go in. It's not fun. You crap your pants, you know, 4 straight weeks. You can't eat anything the night before. I'm Italian. We got spaghetti and meatballs at home. And you know me, I got a locker full of food in there. The power shakes, they clog you up like crazy. You got the Metamucil. You want some soup? Why do you think I ate so much soup? Like a soup Nazi. They want that Star Market's done. It's got a pretty good grab and grow over near the hot bar. You know, for what we pay in taxes in the town I live in, I try and save some money on the food. Why do you think I buy so much stuff on Amazon?
Yeah, that's how they get their jollies.
That's okay. All part of the deal.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
The Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.